All right, last week we began talking about, I think this is going to be just a two-part kind of thing, these two messages. I think it's important that we understand the times that we live in. Amen? We understand that the times are difficult. As being a follower of Jesus, it can be difficult, right? Are we living in the same world? I mean, right? I mean, like, there's different things that are out there, right? And to live in this world as a follower, as a dedicated follower of Jesus, can be difficult, right? And so, so I think the greatest example of that is Daniel. Daniel lived in a very different kind of place, right? We had talked about that picture of the flowers, right? We talked about last week. That's okay. That's my bad. Okay, yeah, those are the desert marigolds. Desert marigolds, actually, they bloom and they flourish in the desert. So if it's possible for the desert marigold, it's possible for us. Amen? So you can bloom right here in very harsh harsh environments. So last week, we talked about the aspects of Daniel that made him not just get by. We do realize that we're not just called just to get by in this world, right? We're not under the impression that things will just totally just flip the switch and just start getting better. Are we okay with that? So are we prepared for that? Now we want revival. We believe for revival. We believe the church needs it, but it's the church that needs to be revived, right? If something's already dead, you're not reviving something that's dead. Revival means you're reviving something that's already alive. We're asking God for revival among the church, right? Among the people of God, right? And actually, in turn, we want to see people come to know Jesus and come to follow Jesus, right? And become alive, right, to Him. So in this world that we live, so things are interesting. But we don't have to succumb to the powers of this age. We're called not just to get by. We're called to thrive. We're called to bloom right where we're at. Amen? And very different. And actually, that is one of the things, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, that will distinguish us from the world. Right? So let's talk about Daniel for a minute. Let's do a quick review about Daniel. We talked about actually three different reasons. There's more. But there's three specific reasons that Daniel not only survived, but understand that he thrived in Babylon, right? And didn't compromise his faith. So Daniel, first of all, we said that Daniel had hope through the scriptures. Daniel knew the scriptures. Daniel knew that this captivity wasn't going to be forever. And so he had hope, right, for a different time. Daniel also, he didn't allow the culture to influence him. We talked about that a little bit last week. There's been different models of how we should relate to our culture. And one is to blend in as much as we can, right? And then it was the relevant. We just need to be relevant. We need to make sure that we're relevant. And we moved that pendulum a little bit too far over sometimes. Or then we just were the mad at the world people. And we were just angry. We're just angry at the world, mad. I live mad because of all the stuff that goes on, right? And we do need to be relevant, and we do need to be a little bit, there should be a little stuff that makes us a little irritated about our world, right? And but Daniel had the ability to, even though the culture was around him, he didn't allow the culture to influence him. Actually, if you weren't here last week, I'll just remind you that, remember, Daniel was actually instructed to do all of the reading and understand all of the culture because of the position that he was going to hold. He had to understand all of the culture. That means he had to go and read all of the pagan god stuff, how to worship pagan gods. He had to go and read all of that stuff of the culture. But yet, and through all of that culture and the philosophies of that culture, he did not allow that to influence him. So you can understand the culture without being influenced by the culture. So number three, Daniel's character, his integrity, allowed him to be an influence. So today I want to dive a little bit deeper into what it means as a Christian, as a New Testament believer, of how to bloom in Babylon, right? So let's do a little bit of a backstory to this. So we know. Let's see. Where are we going to start? We start with there's the nation of Israel, right? And we know that. In this timeline is where I'm getting at. This timeline of history, we see the nation of Israel. We see the nation of Israel at this time there is a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom, right? I don't know if you knew, but it's at some point and down the road, Israel just split from each other. And then you had the northern kingdom of Israel, called Israel, and then the southern kingdom of Judah. Actually, in reading your Bible, it can get a little confusing when it talks about, is this Judah or is this Israel? Are this people of God or is this, who is it? Well, there is, at this time period, there is actually, this kingdom has been divided through two different kings. I want to go this way. I want to go this way, right? So two different kings. So the northern kingdom is known as Israel. The southern kingdom is known as Judah. And when they divided, as God prophesied years before, that the northern kingdom, the part of Israel that was known as Israel, it gets confusing, but they were taken away to Assyria. So both of the northern and the southern kingdom are taken away. So the northern kingdom is taken away to, this is the Bible lesson, to Assyria. And then the southern kingdom, which was called Judah, was actually taken into captivity into Babylon, right? So, and then that day, the king was Nebuchadnezzar, right? And so they're captured and taken, and Daniel, so some of the people that are taken captive that Babylon comes in and takes over the southern kingdom. And then some of the people are allowed to stay. Actually, a lot of the people of Judah, God's chosen, right, are allowed to stay. And then a few are actually taken and taken into the heart of the beast, man. They are taken into the heart of Babylon. And Daniel and a lot of other people is one of those people who is actually taken in to. So Daniel, his name is changed. We talked about that last week. His name is changed from Daniel. That means that meant God is my judge. And his name is changed to Belshazzar, which means the pagan god Baal protects the king. So his name is changed to a pagan god. It's crazy. And then he's all the things. He's trained in all of the literature. He's trained for 3 years. 3 years of your life. What are you going to study for 3 years? Pagan gods. That would be amazing. Like, I'm going to like puke. This makes me want to puke, right? So that's where he's at. So this is what we pick up in the story, right? So Daniel, let's go to Daniel chapter 6. In verse 1, let me just get to all the teaching and then we'll get to just where I want to get to in our message. So I want to give the background. I want you to feel where Daniel's at, right? In the midst of this crazy, crazy place. So Daniel chapter 6 in verse 1. So they're taken into captivity. Nebuchadnezzar is the king. And then there's a different king. And then now there's another king, a newer king, called Darius. Darius decided, in verse 1 of chapter 6, Darius decided to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom. A satrap is just simply a servant of the king that kind of carries out the kingly wishes throughout all of the kingdom of Babylon, right? So they're kind of appointed people, 120 of them, appointed to make sure the wishes of the kings are in different ways, like some military ways, some administrative ways, some other kind of ways. But they're actually, these 120 are sent out to all the portions of the Babylonian Empire to do the commands of the king. And over them, three administrators, right, including our boy Daniel. He's actually one of the three that are over. Like, this is where he's gone from this king to this king, now to Darius. He has climbed the ranks, and now he is like one of the three top people in all of Babylon. and never compromising his beliefs, never compromising his integrity as a follower of Yahweh God, including Daniel. These satraps would be accountable to them so that the king would not be defrauded. So the king is really entrusting these three administrators, like, and Daniel's one of them. And so then it goes further in verse 3. It says, now Daniel distinguished. Everybody say distinguished. Say it again. Say distinguished. Daniel distinguished himself above the administrators, so of the three, right? He distinguished himself among the three administrators and satraps because he had an extraordinary spirit. Let me just stop and pause. Because he had an extraordinary spirit. So the king planned to set him over the whole realm. So how many of you remember? Where's my Bible school people? Who else does this kind of remind us of? Who? Where's that? Joshua. Joseph. Excuse me. Joseph. 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 That's another type of Joseph whose story actually kind of mirrors that, right? So Joseph is in Egypt and is set above everything. Everything that the Pharaoh had was under Joseph's control. So here we have another illustration of Daniel. So the administrators, the other two, and the satraps, therefore, kept trying to find a charge against Daniel regarding the kingdom. How many of you know if you ever succeed? If you ever succeed, always know there's going to be people to try to pull you down. If God ever, jealous. Whenever you succeed, there'll always be somebody to try to tell you why you're a terrible human, right? So this is what's going on to Daniel. But they could find no charge or corruption, for he was trustworthy, and no negligence or corruption was found in him. Then these men said, we will never find any charge against Daniel unless we find something against him concerning the law of his God. So it's amazing. The only thing that Daniel had such a, I want you to grasp this, in the middle of a hostile environment. You may work in a hostile environment. We live in a hostile environment, right? So, but you don't have to succumb to it, right? So, but what was interesting is that the only thing that they could find at fault was how amazingly he served his God. That his integrity, now if we find something that's gonna say, hey, if you follow God, that's why later on in the story we say, hey, they make a statue, right? And they say, Daniel, oh no, this was the time where they, I think it's the prayer time, where you say, you can't pray to anybody but Darius, right? That's awesome. So Daniel's like, no, that's not gonna happen. As a matter of fact, I will go to my window like I always do. I'm not changing anything I do. I'm gonna go to my window, open it up, and for the whole world to see, I'm going to pray to my God. And a double dog dare you to do anything about it, right? So he's thrown into the lion's den, right? And we know God rescues him. So that's the story. But here's the backstory is that these guys try to bring charges, and there's no charges that you can throw at them. So Daniel is blooming in Babylon, right? So okay, so let me just ask this. Maybe this is open forum. Let's do open forum. So what do you think would cause Daniel to bloom like that? What characteristics, you can open forum it. What characteristics do you think Daniel had that would cause him to do that? Specific characteristics. Go. What? Industrious. Yeah, totally. That's a great word. Who said that? Integrity? Yep. What did that look? What does integrity look like? Yeah, consistent, reliable. What else? Hardworking. Loyal. Hang on. That's huge. Do you feel the ramification of what he just said? Loyal to who? Wait, a God and the king. Who? Now who's the king? Whose God is the king? Whose God is King Darius's God? Well, Well, the pagan god. So you're going to be loyal to a god who worships a different god. So what else? That's huge. Loyal. But both to God and to his duty as a administrator. Right? Yeah. What else? Self-control. Oh, yeah. Can you imagine the self-control? Self-control. Wow. Yeah, totally organized. Yeah. Yeah. You don't just get like I always say, like favor isn't just super spiritual. Like favor's practical. You live under the practicalities of the integrity of God and, you know, yeah, he's organized. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Under a pagan worshiping king. It's amazing. So he knew how to balance that, right? Right? He knew how to. How many of y'all have had bosses that bothered you? How many of you have had bosses that were unfair? You felt like, how many of you have God ever said, oh, you don't have to do what your boss said? How many of y'all have ever, yeah, yeah. That's called self-control, people. But it's also godly, right? Like, yeah, like your attitude is like, my submission to my boss, as long as he's my boss, right, is like unto God. Well, that's difficult, isn't it? Right? So he distinguished himself in that way. Interesting. All right, so let's make a little bit of a shift into, well, that's great, Daniel. Fantastic. Good for you. Great job. Good job. What about me and like my dumpster fire of a job that I'm working or this place that I'm, this world that I'm living in? How does that relate to me as a New Testament believer? So glad you asked. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 1. In verse 8, just hold on. When I read the scripture, this nervousness will fill the room. It says, but you will receive power. Everybody say power. Oh my gosh, you can't say power like that. Everybody say power.
Power.
Power. There you go. That's good. But you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses. Everybody say witness. Witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So here we go. It's the evangelism talk. Everybody breathe. Everybody breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth. It's all going to be okay. Did you know that I did some research this week about what atheists think of Christians? Here's an interesting thing. Well, first of all, atheists hate to be called lost. I don't know if you know that, but think about that for you. Like if you were the lost and they're like, lost? Like, oh, you mean that show that we used to watch with the people that on the airplane? Like lost, that show? Like people who are lost? No, but if you were called, you were told that you're lost. That's like, okay, now you're starting at like -3, right? So you see what I'm saying? But also, here's the interesting thing about our culture today. You would think that in our culture today, people don't want to hear about the things of God. Can I tell you, that is categorically untrue. 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 Now, are they interested in coming to your church? Probably not. But are they interested in talking about the things of God? 75% of atheists say yes. They'll be glad to talk to you and glad to hear you about what you have to say. Isn't that interesting? So let's just get rid of that lie of the enemy right now in our head that nobody wants to talk about things of God. That is untrue. Actually, especially of the younger generation are even more ready. You know, the older generation, we're just, you know, we're like concrete. We're firmly set in our views. But so what does it mean that we are witnesses and that the power of the Holy Spirit is going to be the one who empowers us to be that witness, right? Well, let's back up a couple of steps and let's talk about what that looks like in our world today. Because if we believe that we are like I've heard so many people, I can't believe the way our culture is. I hear it all the time. I can't believe this. I can't believe that people are allowing this. I can't believe that our schools are allowing this. I can't believe our people. I can't believe. If we believe that, then we really need to start looking towards Daniel of how to be an influence in our culture. Amen? Like, okay, all right. I don't think I fully have you convinced. I want to help you be convinced. Okay, used to be, and we talked about this. If you've been to some of our members' meetings, you've heard some of these things. But it used to be that, like, in like, my early days, 70s, 60s kind of thing, that like church was something that was valued, right? In certain places, it was valued. Like church, going to church, you're like, oh, you go to, oh, that's amazing. Like, as a matter of fact, like I don't know if you know, some of you younger people, like, do you realize that there was a day where, like, on Sundays, everything shut down? Like, literally, everything shut down on Sundays. Why? So people could go to, it wasn't the, so people would have family time. No, so people could go to church, right? So everything shut down, right? Like, literally the only thing you could do, like, go buy gas so you could put it in your car to go to church. Literally. That's the way the culture was, right? But I'll just say the obvious. It's vastly different now. Vastly different now. And if we're going to be people who understand the times, we need to be people that understand what time we live in. Let me just go ahead and say a couple of things. The people outside of our faith, in a lot of places, we do not hold a lot of respect. Can we just say it? We don't. We just don't. That means you better be careful with what you say, right? Because in many ways, the people outside of our faith know better how for us to live than we do. Let that sit. So when you, on your job, work with lack of integrity, you have lost your voice into that person's life. You realize that, right? You have. When you act just like everybody else, complain just like everybody else, say terrible things about your spouse, I mean, this not here, like people aren't here this morning, but say all those things, right? And you gossip about the people around you, right along with them, you've lost your voice. If you haven't realized, I'm telling you, you have. Because how are you gonna go up to somebody and go, let me tell you how much my faith has helped me. Because I don't know if you know, that's what a witness is. I'm a witness to what God has done in my own life. I am a living witness. The Bible calls me, I am an epistle read of all men. I'm a letter written or read of all people. Like, guys, this is so huge. The scripture says, in the Old Testament, it says, your gift will make room for you. Right? Your gift will make room for you. And we, as some of you have been charismatic long enough, that you always said that, yeah, the giftings that God have given me will make room for me. I'm going to have a place for my gifting. Okay, maybe we can find that in other scriptures, but not that one. Because that one was talking about, did you know that when you approached a king, if you wanted to have an audience with the king, you better bring a gift with you. If you didn't bring a gift to the king, you're not having an audience with the king. The king will, it depends on what kind of day the king's having and what will happen to you. Your best will just be thrown out of the palace, right? The worst is the worst. But your gift that you brought to the king made room for you to come and make your request and give audience with the king. Do you know that your gift of your integrity, your love, the character and nature of Jesus will make room for you to speak and give you audience into the lives of the people around you? It will. It will. Your integrity will do that. Let's talk about a word. The word is, I made you say it like 14 times. Not 14. I'll make this statement. I want to make this statement. The loudest voice, God gave me this week, the loudest voice of evangelism is a life of a faithful follower of Jesus. The loudest voice of evangelism is the life of a faithful follower of Jesus. Someone who takes their faith seriously. And it affects, like I've always said, what you think, what you say, and what you do. Right? So being a Christian, being a Christian, we're designed and we're called to live in a different way. And that is what will distinguish you among other people. That your life will look different. Your life should look different. If your life doesn't look different, you and the Lord need to have some conversation. Amen? Our lives should look different. If you're not distinguishable, you will not be an effective representative. So what does that look like? We used to say this. So I went to a real strict high school, which will remain nameless. And it was a Christian school. My last 2 years of my 5-year journey of high school. So my last 2 years I spent because my parents sent me there to fix me. And, you know, that really didn't work. I just found people that other parents were sent to fix them too. We kind of hung out. We had our own fix them club together. But what we learned in that really strict school was what the word worldly meant. You know, the Bible teaches us that we're not supposed to be worldly, right? We're not supposed to be like the world. We're supposed to be different than the world. Well, that meant back in the day that you couldn't have long hair, right? Matter of fact, if your hair touched your ears, it was, you know, worldly. If you're a guy and your hair touched your, and by the way, the very opposite for women too, right? So if your hair didn't touch your, if you touch your collar, then like, you're like, I don't know, sinful, right? And God forbid you ever wear an earring. Like tattoos were not even a thing, like, right? And don't play cards because cards are, you know, are satanic and of the devil. Like, man, don't listen to rock and roll, even if they're Jesus. Like Stryper was like off limits, guys. If you remember Stryper, like off limits. Like they're the wolves in sheep's clothing, right? That's what they were. So they were like evil, right? When we thought worldly, that's what we meant. Do you know that's like a piece of the pie of what worldliness is? So really, when we talk about a New Testament definition of what distinguishes you from other people, it's things like your faith, your trust in God is different than the world's whatever they do. They're trusting nothing, hoping in themselves. We have a God that actually works in our lives and through our lives that we can access through faith and watch God answer prayers and watch God bring things to pass for us. That we have faith that God is my supplier. Let me tell you, that distinguishes you from the world. Your hope that this isn't all there is. Right? That you, when we look out at the world, we have hope that one day God's going to make it all right. He's going to turn the thing around forever. That's the hope that lies within us, right? That when we die, this is not it. That I can live forever. Can you imagine the horror of thinking that when you die, actually, not even that there's eternity, like a separation from God eternity. But just the fact that when you die, that's it. That'd be horrible. Like there's more hope in you than you know, right? That hope, that we distinguish ourselves because of that hope. We distinguish ourselves because the love of God is in us and it flows through us. That means that I don't repay evil with evil, but I overcome evil with good because I love, right? I have the the button of love pushed. That means I forgive when I'm, that distinguishes you. Yeah, walk into some forgiveness. Walk into forgiveness with other people and watch how quickly that distinguishes you from other people. All of a sudden, you align yourself with God's definition of right and wrong, no matter what the culture says around you. I align myself with God's definition of right and wrong. And it may bring me some trouble, it may bring me some persecution, but I align myself with what God's definition of right and wrong. That will distinguish you from other people. That will distinguish you from other people. Your integrity, like Derek said, your integrity, that you're a person that even though that boss is a jerk, I'll show up on time because I'm a man of integrity, or you're a woman of integrity, that I walk in integrity, right? That will distinguish you. You show your boss that most people don't like and honor, that will distinguish you really quick and may get you a promotion, just saying. See, your approach to worldliness versus godliness is not some set of rules that you check off. Your walk with God, what distinguishes you, is a holistic approach that you do life differently than the people around you. That's why, guys, listen, that when we say that you are a light in the darkness, it's because of your holistic approach of how you serve and honor God as a Christian. It looks completely different to the people around you. Completely different. That's why, listen, the answer is not become more relevant. The answer is not just become more mad. The answer is be a full follower, faithful to Jesus, that will distinguish you among other people. That also means that your walk with God is not just for you. It's to shine light of people around you. Your integrity is not just for you. It's for the people around you. Amen? Because if it's not there, and we'll get to opening your mouth and what to say in a minute, but like sometimes you just want to go, hey, you ever had that Christian at your job? You just go, I wish people didn't know that they were a Christian. How many of you have the people at your job? I did. Oh, I did, for sure. For sure, I did. Yeah, like and actually the most vocal person was like, why does everybody hate you? Why is you're the last person that they want to go to when they have issues on their job? Not even like, I'm not talking personal, I'm talking about like specific job issues. Like they're the last person that they want to talk to. Listen, as a Christian, it shouldn't be so. Shouldn't be so. Like I said last week, actually, the job hunter people that are helping people find jobs, they should flood churches because of the integrity of the people in the churches. So actually, if you think about the word ambassador, I thought about this morning. The word ambassador, so we're an ambassador for Christ, right? An ambassador is somebody, like we have an ambassador from the United States to, let's say, Saudi Arabia, right? The ambassador from the United States is a United States citizen going to a very different culture and a very different nation and to speak on behalf of the nation that they're from. Not so that they can just change, because they won't change. The ambassador shouldn't change or they'll get fired. They should speak on behalf and show the example of the nation that they're sent from. We are sent from God into the world around us, not to look like them, not to act like other people, but we are sent to be an ambassador to show people who the God that has sent us looks like. And through that, we have influence. We have a voice. Amen? And we know, listen, if they reject the gospel and you have lived your life with integrity and all of those things that we just talked about, that's not on you. That's not on you. Your job is not to convince. Your job is to live. And when God gives you an opportunity to speak. Amen? Amen. But everybody just breathe. What if being an evangelist was just living your godly self in your job? Because I don't know about you. And there's a place for tracts. And there's a place for handing out stuff. And I don't think there is a place for people to stand with signs and tell them how they're all going to hell. I don't see Paul doing that, right? Poster boards. It's crazy. God will use those things too. It's amazing. God will use anything. But I forgot my point. Live your life. Live your life as a follower of Jesus. Live your life as a follower of Jesus. But so evangelism, I know what I was saying. So evangelism looked vastly different. That if I wasn't on the street corner, like passing out tracts, doing the four spiritual laws. It's good to know the four spiritual laws. I'll grant it that. But just the random people, just I'm an evangelist because I go knocking on doors. I'm an evangelist because I pass out tracts. How many of you are old school enough to know what I'm talking about? I'm an evangelist because every conversation I get into needs to lead to every conversation I get to with an unsaved person should lead to a decision for Christ right here. That's what we used to say, evangelism. Actually, I don't see that in Scripture. I don't see that modeled by the apostles. I don't see that modeled by the early church at all. Right? What I do see is people who live differently around them. And when they were given an opportunity to speak, they took every opportunity to speak the truth. They weren't shy from it. That's why Paul could say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Right? So what do you do? So now let's talk about opening your mouth. Now that we're all living our lives perfectly. And so when you make a mistake around your coworkers, that's a great opportunity. When they call you out on it, you know what you don't do? Go, no, let me just defend myself. No. You don't defend yourself with God. If you made an error, commit your error. Like, you know what? I used to say this. That's the greatest thing about being a believer is I'm not called to be perfect. I'm just striving just like everybody else. I am just in need of Jesus as my Savior as anybody else. You're exactly right. Your vow was wrong. You know, that's a huge witness. Huge witness. So anyway, all right, so what do you do? First of all, you need to pray. Pray for the people around you. Like, we really believe that a person, if they die in their sins, if they die without Christ, they're subject to an eternity, whatever that looks like, without Jesus, without God. And if you live an eternity without God, we don't know what kind of blessing we already live in a normal realm, like just because God exists in our world, right? Live eternity without that. Whatever that looks like, whatever we can talk about that later, but whatever that looks like, it's not good. If you really believe that, then I'm going to pray for my coworkers. I'm going to pray for the people around me. I'm going to pray for the people that don't know Him. Not so I can, got one. No, it's because the heart of God burns. Like Paul says, I'm an ambassador to everyone. As though Christ were pleading inside me, be reconciled with God. Be reconciled with God. There's a better way. So pray. Pray. I would pray that God would show you some people that you have influence with. Next one, number two. First of all, it's hugely important. Pray. Number two, be intentional without being obnoxious. We're told that we're an epistle read of all men. People are watching. People are watching. Your voice of integrity and your voice of love will give you that time to speak when the time comes. Like, so don't be obnoxious. Like, just don't be obnoxious, right? Boldness is not always obnoxious. You know, you can be a solid, loving Jesus person and not be obnoxious about it. Amen? Is this okay? Y'all all right this morning? And am I blowing some paradigms this morning a little bit? No? Are we good? Hopefully we're thinking about how this is going to work in our own lives. Amen? Right? Okay, good. Good, that's where it should be. Honor people in their nonsense. Be honor people in their nonsense, not about their nonsense, but honor people in their nonsense, right? They're people that God loves. So when they come and they're talking about all the parties and all the stuff that they did this weekend, you know, it's not your time to tell them how terrible they are, right? God will give you an opportunity. Just wait for it. Wait for it, right? They just want to celebrate their weekend. And you just come in like a Debbie Downer and tell them how evil they are, right? How well would that go over for you? It wouldn't, right? Just love them right where they're at and pray for opportunities. Amen? Amen? I'm just saying, this is, okay, so I don't know if you know, I didn't always was full-time. Matter of fact, I've only been full-time in my life for 4 years, 4 or 5 years maybe. The rest of it, and I'm 53, and I've been living for God for 30 years. And so most of that time is working, sometimes I miss it. I miss being around people. You're like, you're crazy. I loved it. You know what? I hate to use it as like a way to do things, but it works. Loving people actually works. Go figure. Go figure. Honor people in their nonsense. Become all things to all people that you may win some. Become all things. Like, it's okay to talk about non-Jesus things with your non-Jesus coworkers. Like, talk about how terrible the Falcons look, right? Talk about how excited you are that Marcus Mariota is going to take you to the Super Bowl. Like, talk about those things at work, right? Like, acknowledge people. Like, join in conversations with things about things, right? Amen? Become all things. That means you don't do all their nonsense things, but you find common ground with people because you do have common ground. We're all humans, right, on the planet. I talked about that you get to make room for you. Be easy to talk to. You know how you're easy to talk to? Listen. How about this? When they're talking about their home life, listen. Listen. Don't say anything. Listen. Because usually those are contexts of like several people around, multiple people around, and they're talking about some difficult stuff that are going on at home. Listen. Remember names of the people that they're talking about. Remember their kids' names that they're talking about. Remember their spouse name that they're talking about. You know why? Because you love them. And so afterwards, when all the heat of the moment's gone, you can come to them and go, hey, you know what? Yeah, I was listening to you talk about, you know, you and your wife's spousal problems. And, man, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry to hear that y'all are going through that kind of stuff. I'm really sorry. If you ever want, I can tell you how my faith has really helped me in my marriage to help work some of these things throughout. If you're ever interested, I'd love to share it. Walk away. Put yourself out there. You know what you've just done? That you heard them. You had compassion for their stuff going on in their life. And you offered yourself as a help. Right? That's simple. That will speak, I'm telling you, in this world, that's a light. That's a bright light. Because you know what most of your other coworkers will do? Ain't nobody want to hear about all your trauma. Ain't nobody want to hear about your stuff. I got my own stuff going on. But you showing kindness and care and love for the people around you will distinguish you among the people around you. Because why? Not because that they're your goal. No, because God loves them. And God wants them to be reconciled back to Him and be shown and be given new life and a new way to live and the blessings that you walk in. God wants it for them, right? And so showing those kind of kindness. Remember that they have kids. Ask about their kids. Remember about them when they talk about like huge events in their lives. Circle back and talk to them again about those things. This is just communication, right? Being kind. Remember that they went on vacation and they just didn't leave you high and dry at your job and you're just mad and you're just kind of glad they're back because now you don't have to work as hard. Maybe you should ask them about how great their vacation was, right? And then they'll tell you how great it is and you're going, that's a lot better than mine. But just love it. Listen. celebrate. You would want somebody to celebrate your vacation, right? Don't you hate it when you're telling them how great your vacation was and they're like, that's rude. Show the love of Jesus to people. Amen? Care about people. Be kind. Be thoughtful to people. Your gift of kindness will make room for your words. Your gift, again, your gift of kindness will make room for your words to speak. So when they look at you and you distinguish yourself and are different, it'll cause people to go, maybe I should take them up on that idea. Because listen, when people are complaining about, those are real things. When people are complaining about their spousal problems or their problem with their kids, those are huge issues that they openly kind of, in my world, whenever I was there, just joking about. But when I walked, listen, when I walked to people and I talked to them about their thing, it was a whole different kind of vibe. It was a vibe of, man, dude, I'm in trouble. Like, my kids are like getting into all kind of mess. What can I do? What can I do? I can't tell you in those moments, significant conversations about the things of God would happen in those moments. Significant. I didn't just go blasting people. You know, well, if you just wouldn't do that, your whole family's going to go to hell. You know what people do? Not talking to them anymore. And you walk away going, I'm the righteous one. No, you're the one with no influence. The great thing is, you don't have to do this all in the natural. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. I know. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. You have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. That means God, you know what? What if the gift of like discerning of spirits, what if the gift of knowledge flowed in you, not just in church, but in your workspace? What if you walked up, what if you were praying, God showed you something about somebody at your work, and you walked up to them and go, hey, I was just praying for you this morning. Hey, that's huge. The fact that you're praying for somebody. And I just had this thought, and I kind of feel like it was from God, that God wanted you to just, now make sure you have all the integrity thing backed up behind you so that your words mean something, right? And all of a sudden they go, wow, God sees me, right? What if the gift, or what if God just leads you to take that coworker to lunch and buy him lunch? Or maybe it's just not even buy them lunch. Maybe if you were out for lunch, they couldn't go to lunch, so you bought them lunch and brought it to them. By the leading of the Holy Spirit, you did that. Amen? And last thing. Now, last thing is this. Transitional conversation. Have transitional conversation, and I'll be done. Say something about the fact that you go to church. Let people know. Just let people know. You know, make sure your integrity and all that is backing it, right? That you're a solid believer and people know, right? But let people know you go to church. Just let them know. Oh, well, yeah, we're at church. Oh, yeah, you know what? My pastor was talking about that at church. Oh, yeah, you know what? I was learning about that kind of same thing at this when I was reading my Bible the other day and was talking about this. Casually, right? Say something casually. Have casual conversation about going to church. Let them know you're a Christian. So many conversations that I've had with people have spurred out of those conversations. Oh, you go to church? Oh, yeah, yeah, I totally go to church. Oh, wow. You know, I used to go to church. But I don't go to church anymore because of this. Hey, do you think you and I can talk about that? Because I'd like to hear your story. And, you know, and yes, some things are bad, and I understand. But I'd like to hear your story. Those kind of conversations. Let them know how your faith has sustained them in those kind of areas. And then wait for people to engage as well. Say the name of Jesus. Last thing, say the name of Jesus in your conversations. Just speak the name of Jesus. Don't be random and just like God, right? It's Jesus. Amen. It's just Jesus. It is what it is. I'm a Christian, so I do Jesus. You know, I'm not a God follower. I am a God follower, but I'm specifically a Jesus follower. Amen. Amen. Because that just pulls it down to a little bit tighter window and a more, and also power of the name of Jesus, like as a thing. Amen. Let's all stand together. Now we're awfully quiet for this long time that I went over. Let's all close our eyes for a moment. God, we look to you. God, we look to you. God, we thank you, God, for your great love for us. And God, we pray, God, that you would show us our role in the lives of the people that are around us. God, would you give us a heart for people? Yeah, I'm sensing even by the Holy Spirit right now that God wants to, you've been angry at the people around you. You've been mad at the people around you, irritated with the people around you. And some of you, you've had your faith, like me, you had your faith mocked. And people said all kind of stuff about you and your faith. But going back to that thing where you're just mad. You're just mad at them. You're mad at them for their lifestyle. You're mad at them for their... I just ask God that God would heal that place in your heart. And God would replace it with his love for those people. I would ask that God would fill you, fill me. That I would see people, humans, God, the way you see humans. The people that are away from you. The people that are far away from you. God, would you send us to them? God, would you help us to be a light in the darkness around us? Would you cause us, Father, to walk with integrity? Walk as a follower of you. And so that when people read the letter, the epistle read of all men, God, I pray that they would see you. And God, I pray for hunger. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, I wonder if there's people in this room and you would say, hey, I know that there's some people on my job or some people at my school or people that are around me that I'm in contact with on a regular basis. And you know that you're there in their life to help them come closer to God. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand right where you're at. You know that you're in, yeah, I say his hands. Yeah. You know that you're in their life. And you put your hands down. So ask this question. Lord, what am I to do? 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 What's my job? What's my role? Father, I thank you that you will empower me by your Spirit to be that for other people. God, you would empower me, God, by your Spirit to love others, God, as you love me. Wherever you send me, God, that's where I'll go. And Father, I thank you for helping and causing me. And God, changing the way I may see evangelism in our world. God, where there hasn't been a heart to, it's your command that we go out into all the world and present the gospel to people. So God, I pray that you would empower us, God. Give us your heart. Renew that heart, God. And I bind the lie to say that people aren't willing to listen. That's a lie. And God, I speak truth over them. God, I pray that you would empower this church to be a light in the darkness. God, I pray that even when people come into these doors, they would see a different God. We would distinguish ourselves out from the people of the world. And God, we thank you.
all glory to Jesus. We give you honor and praise for all this time. I thank you, God, that you've empowered us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Jesus, I hear this one word, last thing. I hear this word. You're a brighter light than you think. You're a brighter light than you think. So God, we thank you. Just say this, I'm empowered. Say it like you mean it. Say, I'm empowered. Say it like you really mean it. Say, I'm empowered by God's Spirit to go into this world and be a light. God, your word says that the righteous will shine like stars in the heavens. Help me, God, by the power of your mighty Spirit, to distinguish myself for your glory. In Jesus' name, God, we thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. All God's people said, amen. 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 Smile. Everybody happy? Let's do this. Amen. It is a lie that the people are all about rejecting the gospel. That is a lie. And we're going to go out and we're going to prove them wrong. Amen. God bless you guys. Have an amazing, amazing, amazing week.